about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 3rd on the West Coast, now February the 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in, besides BBSRadio.com, to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, and on blogtalkradio.com. Before bringing on tonight's guest, I thought I would open up with a news item, and this is a good news item. Just have a listen.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing inside. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak?
When all I would
do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine
That's from The Cause, and the website that has that video says that we were the 129,234th persons to listen to this, and I suppose you could add some millions to that number now. Certainly that's a message that the powers of evil that are wreaking total destruction on the planet don't want to hear, and I thought it was very appropriate. Thought we deserved some good news to open the show tonight. Time to bring on our guest. He has a very popular website, educate-yourself.org. It's one of the leading research sites in the world, certainly on the internet, and this with a few of the recent problems that the site has endured because of IP providers and the like. It's amazing how many people are sending emails and expressing concern about tonight's guest, and I thought I would have him on. What a timely moment to bring on my good friend, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. Pleasure to be on again.
Well, got to hear a new song there. Somebody emailed that to me this evening, just moments before the show. And I had a quick listen to it, and then I thought, why not play it? You know, with all the negativity that's out there, the group's name, The Cause, is actually a great name for a group. Mm-hmm. We are the cause of the things that happen in our world, certainly in our lives, in our experience, in our imaginations, and we can change things for the better. And I know that every time you're on the show, you enlighten the listeners, and we touch upon many topics. Just so the listeners know, we're not taking phone calls tonight. No offense, just that we have so much material that we have to cover, and we have a limited amount of time. So, Ken, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, the theme of what this fellow was singing about is sort of what I had in mind. There is definite and real power in the use of one's creative faculties. And we can change reality depending on how we steer the directions of our thoughts and our attitudes. And what is easily recognized now is that the Illuminati and those who are involved in this scheme to bring in a one-world government, a worldwide system of tyranny, depend on certain ploys to weaken the resolve and to weaken the strength of their targeted populations. Probably Americans are the most intensely targeted of all groups around the world. I've mentioned this before, but it's quite true.
Yes.
That Americans, because of the nature of the country, because of the nature of the republic, and we become accustomed to exerting our will, and this principle of what they used to call in the history books rugged individualism has been stirring in the breast of Americans for a couple hundred years and more. So we have this inbuilt thing about wanting to achieve things and to not allow obstacles such as a caste system, for instance, or circumstances of birth, whether you're born to a wealthy family or a poor family, or whether you're born in royalty or not, things that have held people in check for thousands of years in Europe and Asia, etc. We don't have the history of that here. So we're a very independent-minded group. Now, I suppose something could be said for South American people, too, in a way, since their numbers grew to large extent because of immigration from European people from Africa and so forth. So I suppose that exists to some extent, but we have the history of the American Revolution. We haven't had, as you know, the long history of dictatorships, for instance, that most Latin American countries have gone through. And you know, they've had periods in which there would be a popular revolt and rebellion, and things would be okay for a while, and then other interests would grow over time, and money interest, and then you're back into a dictator. And we've had a large number of military dictatorships in the 20th century, at least. So the United States, and to a lesser extent Canada, have this tradition of being independent, free, and we've enshrined these principles of freedom in the Constitution. So it's in our mindset. So the target of propaganda, of movies, of course, the political structure is top heavy with infiltrators and fifth columnists who are really working to bring in this one world government scheme. They're betraying us left and right. It's very blatant now. It was, if you knew the cover, if you knew the play, the script, you could see it 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago. Or some people have seen it, in most of the 20th century. Eustace Mullins just passed away a couple of days ago, and he was a very good muckraker and writer, mm-hmm. who spent the best part of his life exposing the New World Order game. And he paid a price for it. The FBI particularly harassed him incredibly for 50 years or so. He went through a lot, and all he did was write and talk and express what he interpreted to be the truth of matters. And because he hit the nail on the head so well, that's the reason they went after him. But anyway, he was dedicated to the mission of trying to tell the American people, well, the world for that matter, the truth of what's taking place. So these propaganda systems, the internet, the websites that seem credible on the surface, but are really serving a shiftier purpose, is to just layer in enough spin and distortion and misinformation to get you to, well, either arrive at murky conclusions or to be so overwhelmed with so much conflicting data, you do nothing. This is part of the strategy of, let's call it counterintelligence, is to inundate the public with so much conflicting information. This is why they have such a army of spinmeisters and disinformationists out there telling us 100 different stories or 100 different angles on the same story to overwhelm you. If that's the goal, to overwhelm you. People do nothing, as they learned decades ago. When you're overloaded with too much info, you simply remain passive and paralyzed. So a lot of people are in that boat. However, there are a certain number of people who don't allow the obfuscation and the distortion and misinformation to mislead them. And they're sufficiently intuitively tuned up, shall we say, that they can feel or sense when writing or presentation is honest, or if there's some degree of manipulation in there. And I always remark in talking about this or writing about it that we all have the capacity to decipher the truth. It really is a byproduct of merely being a human being and possessing a soul, because we all have a greater aspect of our being called your higher self. And the higher self is has access to this repository of universal information called the universal mind, or the cosmic mind, or the Akashic records.
Mm-hmm.
There's various words to describe it, but this library exists. This memory library of all events that ever have happened or ever will happen, and this sounds really hard to understand because we are in a man-created matrix of, quote, time.
Or reptilian created.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm a member of the race too, and
yeah.
I'm explaining it.
Which one?
Because
which race?
I've read it often enough, but it doesn't square, you know, with the logical mind. Yet I believe this notion is true, though, that everything that ever happened or ever will happen is already in the Akashic record or in the universal mind. If you can tap this library, you can find out a great deal of information. Only things that are true and have actually occurred are what is stored in this library. Falsities or distortions or misinformation, et cetera, are not recorded. It's only the truth of the matter that exists in this library.
Mm-hmm. If I can interject something here,
yeah.
We're on the same frequency tonight. I have been reading some of Fritz Springmeier's Bloodlines of the Illuminati this evening, and I went pretty much in the front of the book, actually, and was reading something very specific where he was talking about satanic worship and the secret societies, particularly Freemasonry and the alchemic satanic rituals that are performed, and the terminology they began using, and they have this background, this secret name for their group. They call it the Force. And you know, it dawned on me that this new world religion that they intend, I'm not saying they're going to succeed in that. In fact, we're going to expose it right now, one more time, as many others have. But it's clear that they can't offer us any religion other than to mask the only religion they know, and that's the evil worship of the antithesis of the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of their devices, the lying, for example, and that your comments about that, and the deceit and the corruption, It's the only thing they know. They're trained to do that, and they do it with a stone cold face, and yet we're revealing, and many are seeing, they're discerning that these are nothing but lies. That this is all just a game, and like you're saying about the ethereal records that exist outside of time, and contain everything. Every possibility and everything that's ever happened, everything that's ever thought of, and everything that's being planned is all there to see. And there's no way that information can be hidden from those that know how to access it.
Right.
I just want to make that.
That's a very good amplification. Yes, everyone has the ability to access this information from within. Now, what that means is this, is that you, let's say, have conversations with yourself, if you will, in trying to figure out the truth of something, whatever it is that you're trying to look into. And you mull it over in your mind and you ask yourself questions. And where you'll get a great deal of help is to simply ask for spiritual help. You can direct your thoughts to a particular individual, a saint, your guardian angel, your spiritual guides. We all have spiritual guides. Some of us more than others, but we all have, let's say, this team or this group that have been assigned to us, in, you know, by finer minds in the spirit world to help guide us through this life and to assist us. It's so easy to access this help. You simply have to ask mentally. Some people want to do it out loud. That's fine. Sometimes that creates, you know, even more dramatic results. But you don't have to. You can just ask in your mind for assistance. And the more you do it, the quicker the information will come to you. You got to get into this habit. And if you take some part of each day to do two things. The first, express gratitude for the joys of your life in this moment and in this day. Now, whether that's saying grace before eating, or just saying a little prayer in the morning, in the evening, or here and there throughout the day, to whoever you want to address your prayers to, you and in the course of this, if you are looking for assistance and let's say long-term assistance, you want greater health, let's say, or you want to assist some relative who's having some problem, etc., you can pray for people, and it will also produce results for these other parties. In fact, the more you devote your labor, energy, thoughts, intentions, work, etc., to helping others, the more bounty will come back to you. That's a universal law, and it works. You can't get around it. I often use the phrase, "The more you give, the more you get." That's the principle of this law. Now, many people, I'm sure, have heard of the law of attraction, and this is a subset of that, if you will. But it's absolutely true. So, if you are looking for help in your own life, first ask for help in whatever it is you need, and you will get the assistance. And secondarily, the more effort you put in trying to help others, you will be rewarded for that in numerous ways. Very often the things that you're worried about or concerned about are assisted, relieved, neutralized, solved for you, etc. That's often a byproduct of just helping others. And you've heard this story from many people. Sometimes people who are have greater gifts, let's say, in helping people heal themselves of physical ailments, etc., are often a person who was greatly afflicted themselves with health problems, and they learned how to resolve the problem for themselves, and they start teaching others. Well, it often happens that people in a situation where there's, let's say, grief in their life and sorrow, etc., by merely helping others, they get over their own grief, and it gives them a sense of purpose and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment to do things for other people. And it becomes a way of life. And then you start realizing, like, you know, we've been told many times, it's better to give than receive. It's quite true, because you accrue rewards from giving, and it's okay, even if you're thinking to yourself, let's say in a calculating way, well, let's see, if I want to gain more from this deal, I'm really helping others because I want to gain. Now, that sounds selfish, and it maybe might even occur to you that, well, it won't work. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you help others with what may be initially a selfish goal, that's okay. It's fine. You can do it. The very act itself, though, sets this law into motion, and the universe will, you'll get this feedback from the universe in the way of we call it rewards, but it's a feedback mechanism.
Yeah, what you're describing, from what I know about this, is a basic principle, first of all, which is violated in this reality. They have created this consciousness of, and it's an illusion, the illusion of insufficiency. There's not enough to go around, and that spawns the greed impulse. In other words,
yeah.
I've got to get mine. I've got to get more than my share because it's going to run out, and I want to make sure I have enough. But that mentality, that mindset, and that lack of consciousness actually violates universal law, and you set yourself up for a bigger, harder fall, which is why we know the banking industry it has failed. It's not a question of it's failing or it's going to fail. It already has failed. In real time. Remember, if it's an eternal now, it's already failed. It's failing, and it will keep failing, you see, because it's in violation of the law. Now, what is the dichotomy or the opposite of that? That would be abundance. What people are really asking God or whomever they worship to give them is abundance, which it goes across the board. It's not about being wealthy with dollar bills or gold coins or silver coins or trinkets. It's about a flow of energy that allows them to be prosperous in every aspect of their life. Abundant health, abundant intelligence, abundant happiness. And if you're happy, you're going to keep attracting the physical wealth or the physical abundance in your life. You're going to have nice friends and nice experiences in your life. And the lack of that, or the violation of that law, under the illusion of insufficiency, will cause the opposite. I just wanted to add that, because that's it.
Yeah, tremendous, addendum. It's exactly the way I see it, Don. Exactly the way I see it, and anyone who studies the subject of metaphysics will read that same idea, because it's true.
See, now the law of attraction is automatically in the abundance.
Oh yes.
You know, because it's a never ending flow of energy. It's there. All you have to do is reach out and touch it. You know, reach out and touch someone.
Right. Yeah.
Or ask.
Ask. Right.
Shall receive.
We often, repeat that phrase, look within, or Christ said the kingdom of God is within. This was the idea he was referring to. It's not acquiring wealth. It's not acquiring, power and stuff. You know, that is not how you gain peace, inner joy, fulfillment. You gain it from within by recognizing the principle we're talking about here, and that the more you do for others, this feedback mechanisms showers bounty upon you.
Yeah,
and,
if I can add one more thing, I mean, this is like a glaring truth that's coming through from what you're saying, and, this interchange of energy here. We're giving and receiving. When we seek out information, when we seek out truth, what is your first impulse? It's to give it to someone, isn't it? It's to share it.
That's right.
To expand their consciousness, or to give them the opportunity to consider expanding their consciousness. It's not to force them. It's not to cause them to believe, but it's to open up that door to a higher consciousness where there's a reality. And so, you know, those people that don't achieve what they consider financial success or abundance in their life are operating from a competitive spirit. They're operating from a belief that there is not enough, and they actually experience that, and they keep re-experiencing that. In other words, yeah. Poverty, for example, is a continuous process because they never realize that they are not in a state of poverty. They only imagine that they are. They've been led to believe that they're in a state of poverty because there are all these different stigma attached to it. And as soon as they learn how to tap into the source, it's like learning how to swim. How can you swim outside the water? You have to get into the water where it flows and where it exists. And that sounds like a very elementary statement, but how else are you going to get wet? How else are you going to swim? How are you going to experience that and overcome the fear? Because this builds up all kinds of phobias and fears and misconceptions. And it certainly, when you're not abundant, you're going to suffer every aspect of being in lack or want or need. And all you have to do is summon it. All you have to do is make that connection with it.
Yeah. And you said the magic word right there. You said the word imagine, and the song that you just played, that was the theme of the song.
Well, you know, that the way this show began and the way it's transpiring is a perfect example of what you're talking about, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And I suppose the reason John Lennon's song Imagine was as popular as it was because that word implies the principles that we're talking about here. The principles of creativity, and that we create reality with our minds, with our intentions, and that's what we call imagination.
Mm-hmm. Or an image. You've got to be able to see it. And creating it, making it a reality is going the next step, manifesting. It's a manifestation of a thought or an image.
Yes.
And
yes.
If it comes from the heart, it's going to be pure.
Yes. And I, therefore, wanted to stress that the psychological, let's say, manipulations, pressure, propaganda that we are exposed to in first mainstream media, radio and TV. I don't watch broadcast TV anymore, but I listen to AM and FM radio during the day as I'm working. Once in a great while, I listen to music because good music can have a reviving effect on you. But most of the time, I listen to talk radio, and I'm always hunting around to find something that's interesting to me. Much of what is on AM radio particularly is let's say primitive, and it's very numbing. However, there are some stations I listen to, main talk stations, just to see what they have to say. In some cases, if the host can be humorous, and I really get a lot of enjoyment out of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll listen for that reason, but there are no FM or AM radio stations or shows that really satisfy me the way, let's say, an internet radio show like yours might. I listen to KPFK because it's out of Los Angeles. It's sort of very much is a leftist liberal type of political radio station. And much of what they say, I'm in sympathy with. I was particularly, glad to see that they exposed the atrocities of the Bush regime and the war, and the horrendous suffering those poor people have endured in Iraq, Afghanistan, the Palestinian people, et cetera. So I get a lot of let's say quality listening in that arena. But at the same time, I'm forced to put up with absolute rubbish propaganda in which they promote, global warming. They promote, illegal aliens, in this country. They promote, homosexuality, gay marriage. Never talk about 9/11 being an inside job. So there are many deficits to that station. Despite all the good stuff that I hear, they carry water for the Illuminati because they are a subset of an Illuminati propaganda organ. You know, when you listen to the people who sponsor their shows, you know, although KPFK doesn't claim to be sponsored by corporate sponsors, they have many, and this is a very real cute, let's say, ploy they use, is they say we have no corporate sponsors. They have plenty of foundation sponsors. And corporate interest in, you know, the Rockefeller Corporation, the Rockefeller Foundation, pretty much have the same interest because it's controlled by the same people. So they're very proud to boast, you know, KPFK, that there are no corporate sponsors. Yeah, they have tons of foundations, like the Ford Foundation, who helps out Amy Goodman, and the Rockefeller Foundation said, well, these are the same people who you hear when they have explanations of who's funding NPR. And NPR is the premier, the number one, numero uno propaganda outlet for the Illuminati in the world, I suppose, because they have an international part of it called, you know, Radio International and Republic Radio International, PRI. And then you have National Public Radio. They're both full bore Tavistock disinformation outlets. And every program, every show, much of it is interesting and thought provoking. However, it's a continuous stream of propaganda intended to deceive you so the New World Order can continue to install its constitution wrecking, destroying agenda on a day-to-day basis. So we hear all the cover stories on NPR, or like we're going to hear on mainstream AM radio, ABC, CBS, or mainstream television stations. So when Haiti has what we're told is an earthquake, it's presented as a nature-based phenomena, and that even though there are over 19,000 U.S., you know, military people stationed in and just, you know, off the island in ships, they're still dragging their feet. People continue to die. Unbelievably, this government stopped these flights out of Haiti with critically injured people to take them to hospitals in Florida and so forth. They stopped it. And what they said initially, at least that's what I heard in NPR, the reason was is that the hospitals were no longer able to sustain the cost of taking care of these people. So that's the reason we were given. Now, what they did is that I noticed after a couple of days, the back pressure on the government, Obama, became so intense that they just dropped that whole line of explanations. And now it was a big mystery. Oh, I don't know. We're figuring it out. There was some logistical problem for the flights. But Obama assured the people that they're going to resume soon, so have no fear. In the meantime, people are dying daily. It was and is, first, as we know, the earthquake was artificially caused,
as
created.
As were the aftershocks.
And, you know, when I begin posting on my website, again, I'll put up the various articles, for instance, that ZSL had sent me virtually the day after Haiti, and I mentioned to it on the radio interview that you and I did, I guess it was in December, about, you know, it's, he said right off the bat, he says he picked it up that it was nukes.
Well, I think January, actually.
I'm sorry. We're in February. Right.
Event happened the day after the Chinese exercised their $47 trillion lien against the Federal Reserve and the Treasury. So here we have another 9/11 type event.
Right.
Remember Rumsfeld before Congress, the day before 9/11?
And, you know, so they intentionally are dragging their feet on these crises because first they're creating them. The government created Katrina. It wasn't an event of nature. It was a government technology which jacked up and steered that storm directly into New Orleans. And the reason they drag their feet and the reason they bring in, you know, goons like Blackwater and so forth to terrorize and harass and intimidate people is because they are intending to reduce population through attrition. They want people to die. It's as simple as that. Number two, those who are crippled and or so severely, let's say, weakened by the event aren't going to have the energy to rebuild their home in New Orleans. That's what they want. They wanted the people to leave, particularly the black people, because they want to rebuild it into kind of an upscale, let's say, fun city for the rich and famous. Exactly as many locals protested in the media at the time, you know, was the case.
Oh, they fixed their professional sports stadium, though, didn't they?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were forced to use that as an emergency shelter for a lot of people. And look at the things that went on there. I mean, people complaining about being raped and
absolutely
assaulted and everything else that goes on in a ghetto environment. They trashed the place. So they had to fix it up so they could begin making their billions again on the side.
So if we had a government with people who cared about saving human beings, which we used to have at one time in this country, if we had a military who was under the directions of people with a humanitarian mission, a lot more people could have been saved. A lot of, you know, severed limbs could have been saved. A lot of lives could have been saved. A lot of crippling could have been short-circuited and prevented, et cetera, if we had the will, meaning the United States, if we had the will to truly help those people instead of turning away flights of needed food, medical supplies, etc., turning those away because the U.S. military takes control of the airport, but allowing troop planes to come in with troop supplies. They have 9 helicopters ferrying out troops to act as military war zone type of guards at hospitals when the hospitals in Haiti, we're not having any trouble. There's no one harming us. There's no one trying to rob us here. What we need is food. Instead of bringing in these troops with guns, why aren't you ferrying in helicopter after helicopter with medicine, the stuff we need? There's no explanation for this presented.
On last night's show.
NPR.
On last night's show, I mentioned that there were 18. This came from one of the people that went down there as a volunteer rescue group. Mm-hmm. There were some 1,800 people that had gone down there that were basically being held at bay at the airport. They weren't even given water themselves. They were dehydrating in the heat and the sun. And they went out and rescued people. Finally, they got to go out and rescue people. But the planes were backed up. They said all the way to Miami that they wouldn't let these planes land with the supplies that people were paying for.
Right.
And we don't even know if the planes actually had them on there, but we're presuming that they knew some of what had been loaded. They just weren't allowing those planes to land. They weren't given any assistance. They weren't given any restroom facilities anywhere, although the group that did go there under the auspices of the UN who was it, the Peace Corps or whoever this was, they had their porta potties and air conditioned tents and their decon paraphernalia.
Yes.
And these people had to dig holes in the ground to relieve themselves. And they said when you dug a hole in the ground, everybody else was trying to use the same hole.
Right.
So it's deplorable. And they did save lives, but they said they know firsthand that many that they could have saved died because they were prevented from rescue.
Right, they're prevented, right. So
this is not a question of will, this is intention.
Right, exactly. That's the point. And what I'm trying to emphasize here is that NPR, National Public Radio, is always selling its listeners the cover story. Is that the U.S. are the humanitarian good guys. You know, this is the press release they're given from the Pentagon. We're there for humanitarian purpose. We're not there, and it's not a military occupation. Oh, no. In fact, I heard an item on NPR claiming that there was Haitians protesting somewhere. Now, it might have been around the Haitian presidential palace or some government office there, in which, according to NPR, these so-called participants were clamoring for an American occupation of Haiti because they bitterly complained that the Haitian government can't or won't help them. Well, it's probably more a matter of can't. But I don't believe that for a second. I hear the propaganda machinery at work here. They, of course, bought so many troops down there in the interest of a military takeover. Of course. There's no other reason to have that many troops.
Yeah.
And they certainly, if they wanted to help, they didn't need to be armed to the teeth. But they are, because they're there for the purpose of an occupation. It's all a setup. It's a strategy to first cause this problem, cause this destruction, have the die-off that they're anticipating, planned on. And then who do you think is going to be involved in the rebuilding? The Illuminati,
The
Americans, etc. And then who's going to be the main, providing, protection and security and all that? It's going to be the U.S. military and the U.N. It is a coup. It is a takeover.
Mark my words, they'll start building their bases under the pretext of security.
Exactly.
And then you're going to have Blackwater training grounds there. Now they call themselves XE. It doesn't matter what they...
Yeah, they always change the name when...
They have to make it more satanic.
Yeah, that and the fact that when the former name becomes so linked with evil conduct, that's what the Illuminati has done, forever, is they simply change the name. Then they start with a fresh slate. Same people, same organization, same everything. They simply change the name. So then they takes another 10 or so years, to build up an evil reputation for that name. Then just change the name. Real easy.
Yeah. And then don't forget drugs. The drug trade goes through Haiti. And that's been... I read a piece last night at the opening of my show talking about sort of the history, scanning a few hundred years, actually, from the slave days and the alleged freeing of the slaves by the French, and then the deterioration of society, because the intention was never to... it was about giving this illusion that you're free, you're free, but not being empowered.
Right.
You see? And then you have mineral wealth there. It'll be a gold stash, and you have also oil. They say there's massive amounts of oil there. So you're going to have the Halliburtons and the Carlyles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it's simple. It's the same pattern they're doing everywhere
yeah.
else. They did it in Iraq. They did it in Afghanistan.
Yep. Yeah.
Probably
right. It's really quite clear. And they, in the Pentagon now, you know, which is, you know, the mission of the United States in World War II was to push back the onslaught of the spread of Nazism and fascism in Europe, and of course the Japanese had allied with the Germans before World War II. So naturally, we had to overcome those two threats to the freedom of ourselves and the world, and we accomplished that. But the takeover, if you will, of the government by these infiltrators intensified in the wake of World War II, because what used to be the Department of War in the, let's say, the First World War, or for that matter, let's go back to the Civil War, and the First World War and the Second World War, the name was changed to the Department of Defense. Now, this is a Tavistock-created expression for the purpose of installing this military organization on a permanent basis, even during peacetime. Now, you know, people who haven't studied history sufficiently don't know that for the most part. You know, younger people don't know that. They hear the DOD, Department of Defense, all the time, and they think it's a staple of the federal government. Well, it wasn't before World War II. They abolished departments of wars when wars were over.
Yeah.
They were no longer called the Department of War because there was no war. And the military went back to, you know, the various subsections of the armed forces, Navy and Army and all that. And, however, you didn't have this, you know, this structure that really is designed to engage in war. That's what the Pentagon is all about. It's a war machine. And the cover story that we were given in the wake of World War II and, you know, through the 60s particularly, I can remember because, you know, I was in the military at that time, is we're on a mission of peace, don't you know? So that's what the Department of Defense is about. They would never say the Department of Offense. Now, what are we really up to in the world? Are we an offensive military force? Or are we a defensive military? We're offensive. That's quite obvious.
Yeah.
And
well,
you know, we've been engaging in really the same sort of behavior that caused us to go to war with the Nazis in World War II.
Now, if anyone doubts what you're saying about Tavistock, it's certain that the Rockefellers and Joseph Kennedy himself were agents with MI6. I mean, they were working in tandem with MI6. Which is the equivalent of it would be like the British CIA.
Yeah, correct. The equivalent. Their internal intelligence group is MI5 and
FBI.
Right, exactly. And the external outside of Britain group is MI6. Right?
And the cover group for the people is Scotland Yard.
Right, exactly. Right. That's exactly how it works.
But
right.
there is a very, very detailed connection, a deep connection between Nelson Rockefeller in particular and MI6. it's the handwriting's on the wall.
You can see it.
You can certainly look back and see that. And isn't it interesting the role that I've sort of connected the dots with Nelson Rockefeller, his son Michael, and the long-legged Mac Daddy in the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, that's making sense to a lot more people these days.
Right.
It's absolutely making sense. And this has everything to do with the Cold War, you know, this false condition that somehow now we're going to be exchanging verbal tit for tat with Russia and their satellite states, and that they're the big enemy. So suddenly China wasn't an enemy, but then what did they do? They brought down the Berlin Wall, and then Clinton gets in office, and he starts giving all of the military secrets to China. Well,
correct.
Are they really military secrets, or is this just all a play? You know, these are all the bad guys. This country's a bad guy. Now this one's a bad guy. Now we have to stop this one. Now we have to stop this one. And you know, changing the regime, and you know, if you follow the money, you can see in every instance that there's big money being made by each maneuver that they come up with.
Yes,
every
of course.
Single kind.
Yes. So, yeah, the reason I sort of diverted briefly into Haiti was to use the example of how NPR, for instance, is misleading the public in that they always present the cover story, which Tavistock has tailored for us to swallow, to explain away what, to a rational mind, an intelligent mind, is clearly something different than what the, you know, the talking heads on television and radio are saying. And that people have to depend on their own inner guidance, inner sense of discernment to ferret out the truth and to recognize that you're being inundated constantly with distortion and misinformation. I listen to NPR a lot and KPFK and the other station which I'm is to get the story as it's being filtered and shaped for us. I know the script. I've mentioned this before. Anybody can learn the script. It's not hard. I learned it by just reading William Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse. But the script has been amplified and explained in great detail in the books of John Coleman, David Icke, Anthony Sutton, William Carr. There are dozens, probably hundreds, of very Eustace Mullins. There's a large number of authors that have accurately explained what this plotting group is up to and what their goals are.
You know, a perfect example to gauge this, and this is what we're encouraging the listeners to do, is to use their own discernment. Look at your bank account. Okay, if you have a checking account or savings account, or you have some investment, a CD, or you know, some 401k plan or something like that, really investigate what it's worth. Make sure that you know how much money you have. Now gauge that against what they're saying. They're saying, "Oh yeah, the depression is, we're coming out of this depression." Well, they're not really calling it a depression, are they?
No, recession.
They're calling it a recession, but it's worse than a depression. It's just the mindset of the people. They're conditioning through this propaganda and the lies to tell people that it's not as bad as it appears, and that they're underreporting by at least 20 to 25% the number of unemployed people. They're underreporting or outright lying about the cause of the mortgage scandal. You got 60 million homes that went into foreclosures.
Right.
This is totally bogus. And right. So compare your situation or someone you know, if you need to weigh what they're saying, what Ken's describing, what they're saying, what they're feeding you nonstop over and over again. I mean, how can this change overnight? They say we have a $1.3 trillion deficit. Actually, Ken, it's $4,661,600,000,000. That's what they know about. That's from the Chinese audit. Mm-hmm. 326 times the gross national product, which is $14.3 trillion.
Right.
That's how I arrived at that figure. That's just some quick math, and that's what they know about. That's after the Chinese audited the Federal Reserve. You haven't heard a word about that occurring.
No, you haven't at all.
Okay.
But I only have a couple minutes left, so I want to get to a part that I was really leading to when we began our talk. I mentioned the theme of imagination fit in with what I had in mind, so to just try to accelerate to the final thought, is that we are the creators of our reality. Now, I know I say that a lot, and I repeat it a lot, but if it sinks into you on a deep level, you'll understand that we can shape, create the future which we prefer and desire with our thoughts, because our thoughts will motivate our actions. And when we create positive, helpful, beneficial thoughts and scenarios in our mind about not only our personal lives, but the direction the country's going, about the direction the military's going, about the direction of all of these staged events that we are subjected to, such as, you know, the Haiti disaster and so forth. If we use our mind to project a positive outcome, it adds to this collective pool. It's, let's say, input data into this collective, they use the word mem, but all of us, our minds are really connected. All human beings' minds are connected. It's not in a physical sense, but it's on an etheric level. And as we process, let's say, positive thoughts, positive projections, it links up with other positive projections from other projectors out there. And it's like a sculptor, let's say an etheric sculptor, shapes our future events based on this energy we're putting into it with our thoughts. Now, I just got an email that I haven't been posting on my site since December 23 because I had a computer problem that prevented me from using the computer I normally use to upload to my website, and I have to make the time to, you know, repair that computer problem. I need to devote 4 or 5 hours to it, and because I've been trying to catch up on orders, people have ordered things from me. So most of them are made by hand. So I've used the time since December to catch up on orders. But I'll be posting to my website very soon. But anyway, I have answered some emails, which I'll eventually post on my website. The one email came from a guy in England who was asking me about some things about myself. He asked me, for instance, was I an American? And he asked me a question about a lady that produced, that I posted a dream prediction on my website called, you know, Rosie's Dream. He asked me about that. But the third item he asked me about had to do with the notion of Jesus. He thought it very odd that so many victims of MK Ultra mind control, Project Monarch, the big deal, heavy duty mind control projects, the government, CIA, etc., have, victimized so many people with, and, you know, ruined their lives and abused them from babyhood forward. He's wondering why so many of these people embrace the notion of, you know, Christianity and Jesus Christ as kind of the anchor, if you will, that they use to, you know, essentially help them weather this storm and be able to carry on with their life and try to make a success of life. So his inference was, and the questions he posed to me, is that, well, it's kind of obvious that Jesus was just kind of a made-up myth, and so I'm wondering, he says, why they're clinging to this. I mean, don't they really know that the whole Christianity thing is just sort of like a made up thing to control people and get you passive in this idea of universalism, etc. So I took quite a bit of time to address that part of his question to me in this reply. And I won't go into all of it here, but I'll just briefly say this. I'm not saying this in the interest of proselytizing in favor of Christianity. That's not my purpose. But I have frequently on my website, though, addressed articles to propagandists out there who are actively trying to dismiss the notion that Christ ever actually existed. And one of the people that, you know, I've written a number of articles about is a woman. Her real name is Murdoch, but she, in the first 7 or 8 years after she was publishing her books, she just used the name of Acharya S. on her book cover. It was only, like, I think in maybe the year 2007 or so that she finally revealed her name. And I feel fairly certain the reason she decided to reveal her name is because I criticized her in print so often for remaining anonymous with her real name and et cetera. So I think I had some effect on her so I think she figured, well, maybe she's going to gain more credibility. So she started to identify herself as, you know, a woman named D.M. Murdoch. I forgot what her first name stands for. She just uses the initial, but it might be Diane.
Well, now is that her real name, or is that just...
Well, that's the name that she's presenting, and...
I guess I can smell another genealogical study.
Well, yeah, you may... Well, but what I just want to say is that she... Along with this movie that was produced mainly for internet consumption called Zeitgeist, the movie.
Yeah.
There was a man named Peter Joseph who put that together. He's a younger fellow. And he had a follow-up to that called Zeitgeist Addendum. And in that, he presents a number of ideas, but one of the conclusions you're supposed to come to is that Christ is really a mythological character. He never actually existed, but he was created and patterned after certain, you know, pagan gods. And so they point out how December 25 was not really his birthday, and that it used to be, the date of a pagan holiday. That's quite true. I mean, you know, I learned that as a kid in school. It's not like it's a big secret among, you know, Christians in teaching that. It's not a big secret.
They use a bunch of other assertions using the same date.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, you know, if you read the, let's say, the very voluminous, authoritative sounding, or reading, I should say, articles by this woman, Murdoch, if you don't know anything about the subject, you might easily be convinced, because she sounds convincing. But the point is, much of her arguments are specious. Some of it's 100% accurate, but other parts of it are not 100%, and other parts of it are not true at all. And she blends this all together in a great deal of volume. There is a characteristic I notice with modern disinformationists. They bowl you over with the quantity of their material. And as a result of presenting, let's say, a 50 or 60 or 70 page article, and which, you know, and if the English grammar is good and the structure is trained and learned, you can convince people of anything if you have the tools. If you were trained in the skills of wordsmithing, if you're trained in the skills of oratory, you know, you can make a convincing case that, you know, the sun rises in the west and settles in the east, or that, you know, daylight is really nighttime and nighttime is really daytime. You can engage in all sort of specious arguments if you're skilled in the arts, and weak-minded people frequently buy it. And so in my criticism of this person and the Zeitgeist movie and others who are trying to sell us this notion that Christ never existed, I'm not a interested in proselytizing for Christianity. I'm not doing it for that purpose. It's okay. You can believe in whoever you want to believe in. I'm not trying to evangelize, because, as you know, I'm rather opposed to the inappropriate, forcing of evangelism down people's throats. However, though, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ was a genuine historical, real historical figure.
Yeah. We have to wrap. I hate to end the conversation.
So anyway, I guess I'll just have to pick it up next time around, because it's the message of Christ the teacher. Forget the other aspects of pronouncements about Christ. Just Christ the teacher. He was a teacher. That was his mission.
Well,
and he taught us certain things that's what we want to think about when we allow propagandists or disinformationists to dissuade us from certain attributes of the human spirit that we need to be reminded about.
Yeah.
Such as imagine.
Yeah. Well, I want to add to that in closing that this whole plan of offering us an alternative religion, a world religion, is going to be based on what they're doing. If you stop and think, what are they going to offer us that's going to be different from worship of Satan? They're just masking it.
Right.
They used the term the Force in the movie Star Wars, didn't they?
That's right.
May the Force be with you. May the Force be with us.
Right.
Those types of statements, and people latched onto that, and that sunk into their consciousness, and they're going to hear that. That's their secret term for their satanic power that they
absolutely
gained.
Absolutely, and don't forget who produced the Star Wars series. And one of the names I frequently hear on NPR as one of their sponsors is the Lucas Foundation.
Yes, which goes into communications and all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Well, we're out of time, Ken. It's been interesting. I want to let the listeners know that you will be with us on the 16th of February. That's a Tuesday night, sandwiched in between Dr. A. Truat and Ingrid Castle. So look forward to that. Sorry we don't have any more time.
No, this is fine, Don. Thanks.
Been a stimulating conversation, and hopefully we've helped move some people outside the box, at least for this past hour.
Right.
And I wish you well until we talk again on Evident Footprints.
Thanks.
Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Ken Adachi. Please visit his website at educate-yourself.org. educate-yourself.org, or just educate-yourself. You'll find him. He's all over the internet. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio for broadcasting Evident Footprints. I'd like to personally thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible at bbsradio.com, and the audio assistance of Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom. And you, the listeners, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.